Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this video, I'm going to be talking about mastering your emotions, part one. This is a very important video that I've been meaning to shoot now for a while, and I wanted to do it right. So I decided to split it up into a couple of parts here. And basically what we're going to be talking about in this series is getting you a much deeper understanding of your emotions, helping you to build an emotional vocabulary, and getting you to understand how emotions function in your life. The thing that really inspired me and kind of prompted me to want to shoot this video is because, you know, I work with clients in coaching sessions. And one of the things I discover with clients is that when I try to get them to talk about their emotions, they usually end up drawing a blank. And what this shows me is that they have a very, 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 very limited emotional vocabulary. And so I started thinking like, oh man, you know, it's hard to even coach these people because they can't even assign just basic labels to the feelings that they have in their body in different situations in their lives. And because of this, they're basically unconscious to what's happening in their body and how these emotions are dominating and controlling their lives. And so what I find is that in general, most people are this way. Most people have poor emotional vocabulary. They don't have a rich diversity of emotions that they're able to feel and they're able to identify. They're not really able to talk about the emotions that they have, which creates problems. And in general, most people are quite clueless about what emotions are and exactly how they function. So I wanted to dive into that here. Basically, what we're talking about here throughout this whole series of videos is emotional intelligence, EQ. And I have another video that talks about emotional intelligence and introduces that topic more on point. I'm not going to be too focused on emotional intelligence other than to show you that basically what emotional intelligence is what we're going to be talking about here. And these videos here show you kind of how to develop emotional intelligence. And basically, they've done studies and they've found that one of the greatest character traits that correlates with success and fulfillment in life is high EQ. Not IQ, not logical, rational intelligence, but emotional intelligence. Now, why is this, and why is this whole topic important? Well, basically, unconsciously, emotions run pretty much your entire life. Emotions unconsciously pretty much generate all of your results in life. All the stuff that you think you do consciously and deliberately and rationally and logically, well, you're deluding yourself about much of that. Actually, it's your emotions that are running those behaviors. So the most important element of all this here is that emotions generate behaviors for most people. And because of this, this creates a lot of unresourceful, problematic behaviors. And then you can get stuck in these behavior loops, which don't get you the results that you want. So one problem here is that many people are not able to identify emotions properly. They just don't have the words and the labels to even talk about them. That's a big problem. Another problem that people have is that we generally don't understand what the messages of our emotions are. Did you know that an emotion can be a message? It can carry a conscious message with it so that you can take the message of the emotion and not need to react like an animal just against the feeling and the sensation. So most people don't know which emotions have which messages. And that's going to be what part two is going to be about. And I'll tell you exactly which messages you need to know for some of the most common emotions that you'll encounter in life. And another problem that I see is that people are not able to get coached or they're not able to get therapy because they're not able to express their emotions and delve into their emotions, which is necessary for successful coaching. And so when you combine all this stuff together, basically what you get is terrible results in life and you also get much needless suffering. So wouldn't it be nice if we can address some of this here so you can avoid all this needless suffering? And before I go and start talking about what emotions are, just one word of warning. If you think that you're watching this video and you think, well, Leo, I'm not a very emotional person. I mean, maybe some people are emotional, or maybe you're talking about, like, what you're talking about here is going to be helpful for women because they're more emotional creatures. But, like, I'm this strong stoic guy. I don't need all this emotional talk. I don't need to label my emotions and feel into my emotions. This is not the way that I live life. Well, if you're telling yourself that you're not an emotional creature, even if you're the most stoic, macho guy in the world, then actually what that means to me is that you're completely clueless about the role that emotions play in your life. You're just unconscious to it. You're so unconscious that you don't even realize that emotions are a critical pillar, like the backbone of your entire life. Even if you're the most stoic, macho guy. So don't think that you're not an emotional creature. We're all very, very emotional creatures. So if we say that women are more emotional than men, yes, that's true, generally speaking, as a stereotype. But that doesn't mean that meant that men are not still highly emotional. We're all very highly emotional, and we're mostly like machines running on emotions. That's mostly what a human being is an emotional machine in action, cycling through emotions over and over and over and over and over again. So open your mind to this, all right? If you want to get to the highest levels of your potential in life, and if you want to self-actualize, you're not going to be able to do it by ignoring emotions. You're going to have to really study the hell out of them to master them. So anyways, that was just a warning. So what are emotions? Emotions are, it's kind of my definition, are a matrix of feelings in your body. A rich, complex matrix of feelings. So just one emotion, let's say we take a common one like anger, right? What is anger? Anger is a label in our English language that we assign to what? We assign it to a certain collection of sensations in our body and also in the mind. And this is a lot more rich and complex than you would initially believe it to be. Sometimes we can look at anger and we can say, oh, anger, yeah, I know what anger is. Very obvious. But actually, hold on a second. Maybe it's not so obvious. Have you actually felt into anger to see what it's really about? Have you wondered why the anger is arising and what it's prompting you to do? Have you looked at the different shades and degrees of anger? Everything from full-out violent rage to your typical anger to something like a mild frustration or an annoyance. Right, there's various degrees there, and how each one of those is not just different in degree, but it's also different qualitatively. It feels different. It feels different in your body. Also, not only do you have a feeling in your body, and those feelings are very specific. They can be located in specific parts of your body, like your chest or your abdomen or your head or your throat or your arms or your hands. So you can have different feelings all throughout your body. But also, you've got various internal mental chatter that's happening in your mind. And there's also a tonality. Not only are there certain mental words that you're saying when you're angry, but also there's a tonality. There's a way in which you say them. Maybe it's an aggressive, violent sort of tonality. So there's that. And you got to start to appreciate how this whole thing just kind of like creates this big ball of what we might call anger. But underneath that label anger, there's this very rich tapestry of stuff going on. And on top of all that, if that wasn't enough, this emotion is not like a fixed state. It's like an animated, dynamic, flowing situation. Imagine if someone took a syringe full of red paint and then injected it into your veins, like into your heart, stabbed you in the heart with it, and then squeezed that red paint in there. Now, if you die from that, but assuming you didn't die, and that red paint would now dispersed and be carried by all the veins into different parts of your body. And so you can imagine that the paint is moving through your body and it's affecting different parts of your body and it's touching different parts of your body and your mind at different times. And then eventually you might imagine that it dissipates from your system, kind of like a cloud passing through the air. Well, that's kind of what an emotion is, right? It's like this animated thing. It's not that you're just angry. It's that the anger starts to kind of develop and grow, and then it balloons, and then it has a peak, and then it kind of has its climax, and then it starts to dissipate, and then slowly it gets out of your system, and it transforms and melts into some other emotion, maybe now sadness, and then that sadness takes over, and then you have these waves of emotions. So emotions are not static things. That's basically what emotions are. And the whole reasoning behind emotions is that emotions are like a language. They're like a language of your body. See, if you're a very rational, logical person, you tend to think that, well, life is very rational and logical, and that stuff follows in a kind of linear, conscious sequence. But what you fail to appreciate, perhaps, is that actually before there was logic and before there was rationality in the evolution of the human being, and in the evolution of mammals in general, what you had is you had a need for controlling how the organism, this machine, functions. And how do you do that? Well, you do that with a more primitive communication system. And also, in a sense, a much more complex and rich and lightning fast communication system than logical linear thinking. So if a tiger walks into the room, it's not enough for you to see the tiger and to think about the tiger and say, oh, that's a tiger. What if that tiger bites me? What if the tiger jumps on me? You know, I've encountered tigers before and I know that they're scary, ferocious animals, so probably it's better if I leave the room, right? That's not your reaction. Your reaction, before you can even label the thing a tiger, immediately your heart rate jumps up, right? Immediately you've got this feeling of adrenaline pumping through your body. Immediately you're gripped by terror, by fear, like a very visceral fear. And immediately your body is tensed up. Your skin tightens, different muscles in your body tighten. Immediately, maybe you're already turning your head and your body towards the nearest door or window to jump out of the room. So the emotions are doing most of that work. All that stuff happens in just a few milliseconds. And you don't even logically have any clue what's going on here. Your body's already in motion. So this is happening thanks to your emotions, right? So emotions are very powerful, and they're the primary source of motivation that you have running your life. So you see now why this becomes so important, is because your behaviors are very much influenced by emotions. Now, it's interesting that your behaviors don't have to always correlate and be totally aligned with emotions. You could actually go against your initial emotional impulses. And that's where kind of you get into the battle between the logical brain and the emotional brain, where maybe something is telling you that this thing is something you're supposed to be afraid of over here, but your logical mind can override that and say, well, yes, I'm afraid, but let me go pursue it anyways. Maybe this is actually going to be beneficial to me. And it's there where you get into a lot of the emotional problems that people face in life, and a lot of the stuff that holds people back from achieving the goals and dreams that they have in life is because you've got this tension going on. Well, to start to get a handle on how all this works, it's helpful to just get a layout of the landscape and to see what kind of emotions exist, and is there like a rhyme and a reason to these emotions. Is there a structure to these emotions? So one of the things I want you to start to recognize is that there are hundreds of emotions, right? An emotion is this matrix of feelings, and there's a lot of different variety and subtlety in these matrices of feelings that you can have. So what I want to do here in this video really is I want to give you a little overview of the landscape. I want to give you a little taste of the different emotions that are there, and I also want to give you some categories that I found helpful for me in my life to get me an understanding and help increase my emotional intelligence. So what I'm going to be sharing with you here in a minute is a model, a structure for emotions that comes from the Sedona method. Now, the Sedona method is a way of releasing emotions, which I'm not going to cover here. It's a really great method if you want to learn it. But I'm just going to use their model to kind of give you some categories, like a framework for understanding the different levels that emotions can have. So what you're going to notice here is I'm going to be going through is you're going to be noticing that there's going to be about 8 or so categories, and we're going to be talking about these categories in order of ascending. So we're going to start at the most, you might say, negative, most unresourceful emotional states that you can have as a human being, and then we're going to move up the ladder to slightly more and more resourceful and quote-unquote positive emotions. Okay, and I want you to also watch out for the different degrees of emotions within the category. Now, we're going to be doing a little sampling here, like a little buffet, right? But this is just a very little sampling. There's a lot more. In fact, each one of the categories that I'm going to tell you probably has at least 100, if not more, different shades of emotion in it. But we're just going to be covering maybe 4 or 5 per category. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to give you the category, and I don't want you to visualize the category, but then what I want you to do is I want to kind of give you, I want you to quickly visualize the emotion within the category. And actually, if you want to get the full value of this video, what you're going to do is you're going to listen to the whole video, then you're going to come back, you're going to rewind to this point here, and you're going to re-listen slowly to each emotion as I tell it to you, and you're going to pause, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to actually feel it. Remember it, recall how it was in your life because you felt all these, and then I want you to feel it in your body, and I want you to remember what kind of sensations were going through your body, where in your body was this emotion being felt, how is this emotion different from a prior emotion, and what is going on in your mind when you're in the middle of this emotion, because the emotion is both the bodily feeling and also the monkey chatter in your mind that's going on at the same time. And the monkey chatter changes from emotion to emotion. So anyways, here we go. I'm going to go through this really fast now because I don't want to waste a whole hour giving you time to pause. You're going to do that later on your own as an exercise if you want to. Okay, so here we go. The first category is called apathy. And this is the least resourceful state because it's very hard to take any action from this state. And here are the specific emotions that I want you to kind of quickly visualize. One is depression. Feel yourself depressed. The next one is defeated. Feel yourself defeated. The next one is bored. What's it like to feel bored? And the next one is lazy. Think of a time when you were very lazy. Okay? So we're going through really fast here, so you're not really going to get a good taste of each one right now in your experience. So I really encourage you to go through again a second time and really pause between them, close your eyes and get a full sense. It might take you 30 seconds before you get a full sense of something like depression or something like boredom or laziness, all right? But it's worth doing this because as you do this, you're building your emotional vocabulary. Right? That's why I'm doing this segment here, is because I want you to get a taste for the fact that there are these specific emotions that you have that are very common, but a lot of times you don't label them and you just kind of skip over them in your awareness. So you kind of know what laziness feels like, but also you have no idea what laziness feels like. Because probably for your entire life, when you felt lazy, you've just kind of jumped over the laziness. You told yourself, oh, I'm lazy. You told yourself, oh, I don't want to be lazy. You labeled it a bad or a good emotion. And then what you did is you didn't actually feel into it. You didn't actually identify what laziness is in your present awareness. Right? This is called practicing mindfulness, which is a really huge thing I'm going to talk about towards the end of the video. So anyways, let's go on to the next category. Next category is called grief, which is one notch higher, more resourceful. Here you've got emotions like being sad, hurt, betrayed, disappointed, and guilty. So feel each one of those. Next, we're going to go to the next category, which is fear. And here you have a lot of different types of fear. Think about terror, nervousness, worry, insecurity. Fear is an interesting category because notice that we have this general label fear, but then you have a lot of different specific types of fear which have various degrees of strength, but also qualitative differences from each other. So for example, terror feels very different than insecurity in your body. It also comes with a very different mental chatter in your mind. So you want to become aware of what those are for each label. Okay, let's go on to the next category, which is lust, one step higher, a little bit more resourceful than fear. Within the lust category, we have things like craving, possessiveness, greed, frustration. So you're going to want to feel all those and compare and contrast those different feelings. The next category up from that is anger. And here we have stuff like disgusted, pissed off, vengeful, and annoyed. Annoyed is an interesting one because it can be a very subtle form of anger that you don't even recognize as a form of anger. Interesting. Okay, one level higher than that, we have the category of pride. Here we have things like gloating, feeling icy, judgment or being judgmental of someone else, and arrogance. So go ahead and feel all those and compare those. And the next category is called courage. Here we have things like confident, creative, happy, and secure. So feel all those. Notice that now we're getting to the higher levels of this hierarchy, and that now at these levels, we're getting into actually what you might call positive emotions, emotions that you want more of in your life. Also notice that the emotions that are more quote-unquote positive, that these tend to be emotions that produce more resourceful behaviors and actions in you. They're less toxic. They're less damaging. They lead to less negative fallout. Okay, so let's move on to the next category, which is called acceptance. Here you have emotions like compassion, glowing. Can you remember what it feels like to be glowing? Loving, and playful. Okay, good. So feel all those. Be aware of all those different matrices. And lastly, now we're going to be moving to the last category, which is called peace. And this is a very interesting category, which most people don't even think about when they think about emotions. But actually, this is perhaps the most powerful and important category of all. this is the place that you ultimately want to get to with your self-actualization. So here they are. Within peace, you've got stuff like awareness, feeling aware, calm or tranquility, feeling complete, freedom, feeling free, and feeling centered. Very interesting category, this category of peace. So there you have it. You've got like 8 or 10 categories. I don't know how many that was. And just a sampling. Remember that this is a very small sampling, like a tip of the iceberg. I could have given you probably 50, and I'm not exaggerating, 50 emotions within each category. So there's a lot of them, right? And they all have their own subtle different tastes and flavors to them, almost like food. Okay, so now what do I want to say about all this? Well, I want to say that emotions are both conscious and unconscious. You can be conscious and very aware of what's going on in your body and in your mind, and you can label it an emotion like anger or fear or annoyance or peace or whatever. But most of the time, I would say 98% of the time, you're actually not conscious of the emotions that are coursing through your body. And this presents a problem. So if you want to really improve the quality of your life, then what you want to do is you want to become more and more conscious and aware of exactly what's going on in your body. One of the problems that emotions create is that we label emotions as either good or bad. And actually, what I want to submit to you here is that emotions are neither good nor bad. And that, in fact, when you label an emotion as good or bad, this gets you into a lot of trouble down the road. It might seem like something like anger or fear or jealousy or depression might be an inherently bad and negative emotion, which creates inherent suffering. But actually, that's not the case. That's an orientation that you've just accepted as an assumption without really questioning and looking into it. When you really look at what an emotion is, all it is a sensation in your body and a certain sensation in your mind. That's all it really is. And no sensation is inherently good or bad. That's your mind coming in there and starting to label stuff, starting to judge stuff, right? And so one of the things that usually happens, the way that we're being run by our emotions unconsciously, is that some emotion is coursing through our body. We generally assume that this emotion is created by some negative external circumstance. And then we think that, oh, this emotion doesn't feel good anymore, so it's a bad emotion. How do I get rid of this emotion? And then we just have a knee-jerk reaction, and we go do something to get rid of this emotion. And we don't actually feel the emotion. We don't notice the richness and complexity of sensation and feeling that exists there. And so because of this, we really are like a puppet that's being controlled by some puppeteer. And we think that we're conscious throughout this whole process, but actually we're not. That's the whole crazy thing about unconsciousness, is that unconsciousness doesn't feel like unconsciousness, because whatever little sliver of consciousness you have is all you think that there is. So if you're 1% conscious and 90%, 99% unconscious, you feel like you're 100% conscious, which is what gets most people into trouble, right? Because we already assume that we know this stuff, and which is why I want you to go back and to actually take your time and feel each one of those emotions that I described earlier. Because what you'll realize by doing that exercise is, oh, I've never actually sat down and fully felt what anger feels like or what annoyance feels like. I've never fully realized what jealousy actually is. Most of my life, what I've done is I've just run away from these feelings, or maybe I've run towards these feelings. Generally, the way emotions function is that they're like carrots and sticks. Either they cause you to pursue something, or they cause you to avoid something. And this is like a very basic biological mechanism by which this organism in the machine called the body controls your behaviors. So emotions, you might imagine them, they're kind of like magnets, right? It's like a magnet that is polarized and it pushes you away from something or it pulls you towards something else. And, you know, a magnetic field, it's not just like black and white. It's got, like, it's almost like a cloud of magnetic field. So if you're within, you know, the cloud, you get pulled a little bit more, and then you get closer to the magnet, you get pulled even more. And so that's kind of how emotions work. They're not these black and white things. So it's not that when you're angry, you necessarily have to go punch someone in the face, but you're certainly much more likely to. And so you kind of gravitate towards that. And when you're depressed, it's not necessarily the case that you're going to shoot yourself in the head and commit suicide, but you're certainly much more likely to. You're kind of pulled in that direction, right? And the same thing with the positive emotions. So it's very interesting how complex the human mind and organism is, and how these emotions are like these magnetic poles that kind of like guide you. Like, imagine like you're a fish swimming through a river, and you're like this fish that's made out of metal. And in this river, you've got this torrent coming down at you, but you're going forward. And then you've got these different magnets positioned in the river, and you're kind of moving towards one or moving away from another, and you're just kind of like snaking your way through the river. Well, that's basically a pretty accurate description of what your life is as a human being. An important thing to remember and understand about emotions is that really they're the language of the unconscious and the subconscious mind. Because there's a lot of stuff that's happening in your body at every millisecond of the day that you don't need to be aware of. And in fact, if you were consciously aware of all this stuff, it would probably fry your brain. There's a lot of stuff going on: breathing, heart beating, temperature, control of your body, of your blood. You know, your immune system is fighting off pathogens, and your cells are growing and rebuilding, and there's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of stuff that's being processing in your brain unconsciously, right? You're recognizing shapes and faces and people, you're remembering names, and you don't have any idea how this stuff is happening. Well, it's happening unconsciously for you. Right. And your emotions are like a language that kind of bridges the barrier between total unconsciousness and then consciousness. So it's kind of like the bridge. And so it's really helpful to learn how to interpret and become more aware of your emotions, because your body's language primarily is not logic. It's not rationality. It's not linear thinking. It is emotions. It's these vague fields of emotions and moods. So you can start to see why it's so important to start to understand the language of emotions. It really is like learning a language. One question that comes up when we start becoming more aware of emotions is we start to ask questions like, well, these negative emotions that we have, are these emotions necessary? So if I'm feeling angry or depressed, does that mean that I can get rid of those? Because, I mean, they're creating certain behaviors. Aren't these healthy emotions? Aren't these emotions necessary for my survival? And see, the interesting thing is that your emotions are like a very baseline operating system which keeps you alive and surviving. And the negative emotions are very powerful, and they're very strong, and they're extremely well-tuned to keeping you alive. So if all you want from your life is to be alive, then you can rely and trust your emotions completely, because they'll do an extremely good job at keeping you alive. Very, very good. They'll also do an extremely good job at making you reproduce. So notice that these are the two functions that evolution operates on, right? Natural selection, survival, and reproduction. So in these domains, you're going to do great with emotions. You don't even need to learn about emotions. You'll still do great. Most animals do great this way. And most, primitive cultures and societies that don't label emotions or whatever, or don't even have the study of psychology, they do fine, just fine. They survive great. But if you want to take yourself to the highest potential as a human being, if you want to self-actualize, if you want to thrive, if you want to accomplish great things that most human beings are not able to accomplish, and if what you want is fulfillment and deep, lasting happiness in your life, then you have to start to unwire some of the more severe negative emotional reactions that you have. Why is that? Well, because that whole system is tuned just to your survival. It doesn't really care about your happiness or fulfillment. So, for example, what it'll do, it'll make you worry and it'll make you nervous about the most insignificant thing just because that thing might potentially be a survival threat. Now, your conscious mind knows better. It knows that that little thing is not really a survival threat. But see, your kind of emotional mind doesn't really understand that. And so what it sides on, you know, it errs on the side of saying, you know what, we're just going to interpret that thing as a threat anyways. And we're going to have you react violently against it. We're going to have you worry, and we're going to have you get depressed and sad and angry about that thing. But see, you can't really, like, build a happy, positive, resourceful life from that kind of situation. So what you want to do ultimately is you want to unwire that stuff and build in conscious, healthy reactions. Also, you want to transition yourself away from the lower level categories of emotions we talked about, stuff like depression, anger, and fear, and into stuff that's much more higher consciousness, like peace and acceptance and creativity and confidence and security and this kind of stuff. So that's the explanation of that. Also, I think it's very important that you start to realize that the thing you really want the most in your life is the emotions of peace, acceptance, and wholeness. This might sound kind of airy-fairy and new age and kind of fruity, but I guarantee that this is what you really want in life. You don't want a bigger house. You don't want a sexier wife. You don't want more money in your bank account. You don't really want that new promotion. What you really want is you want peace, acceptance, and wholeness. Because if you had these emotions running through your body all the time, you would be on cloud nine. You would be in heaven. That's what heaven is. It's interesting, though, how society doesn't really tell you this. It's also interesting how it's very counterintuitive. You don't really actively tell yourself that what you really want in life is you want these emotions here. Instead, you turn it into material objects, or you turn it into promotions, or you turn it into a better looking body or whatever. But you don't really want those things. You want those things so that they get you peace, acceptance, and wholeness. So wouldn't it be nice to recognize that? And wouldn't it be nice to chart a more direct course in your life for getting these things, rather than the roundabout way that you go about now? Because you waste a lot of time and energy and money and resources going on a tangent rather than directly to your emotional objectives. And your objectives are emotional. Notice that too. So when you tell yourself that you're not a very emotional person, well, actually you are, because all your goals in life ultimately are just pointing to these emotions here, which you want. What we're talking about here is your entire motivational system in life, right? This is huge. This is so huge. I hope you can start to appreciate this. Another question that comes up when we start investigating emotions is, can emotions be controlled? And if so, how do I control them? Because it sure does sound important that if there's a way to control them, then we want to develop this way. Well, emotions are a tricky thing, and you really can't control them directly. And in fact, what is going on is that emotions are controlling you. So see, your conscious mind, it's not the primary thing. It's the thing that depends on everything else. So your conscious mind depends on a stable emotional system. So you don't have a conscious mind without emotions. Emotions come first. They're the base. They're the foundation. So in a sense, the foundation controls what's above it. It's kind of backwards to have the thing on top control the thing on bottom. You might say it's unnatural. But nevertheless, you can develop something like a pseudo-control over your emotions. This is by not trying to control them directly. And here we get into the distinction between controlling your emotions and mindfulness. Mindfulness is the key to emotional control. I have a video on mindfulness that you might want to watch that goes in depth about how that works. But here, what I'm going to tell you is that basically the power of mindfulness is simply that you just watch the emotion and you don't try to control it at all. And very counterintuitively and paradoxically, what happens is that the better you become at seeing exactly what your emotions are, the more aware, the more conscious you become, then the less your emotions dominate your awareness, the less they control you. And you can get to such high levels of mindfulness that basically you're able to exert almost a supernatural control over your emotions. But in fact, all you're doing is you're just looking at them. It's a very interesting and counterintuitive technique. Mindfulness is a whole field of study. You could spend the next 20 or 30 or 40 years of your life practicing developing mindfulness. But I'm just going to give you a couple of quick ideas and a couple of tips here. So number one, for starting to develop mindfulness, which by the way, if you haven't realized yet, is what we're doing in this video, right? By getting you more awareness, this already is building mindfulness. But you also want to be practicing it in the moment. So the first thing you should do is you should stop judging your emotions and you should stop labeling them as good or bad. This is actually false. Emotions are not good or bad. So mindfulness is about seeing emotions as they are. And no emotion is good and bad in itself. And the other component of mindfulness is to feel your emotions physically through the body. Really take the time, maybe even close your eyes, stop yourself, feel through it. This is very unorthodox. We almost never do this because we usually are just reacting to the emotion. And if it's a bad emotion, we just want it to go away. It never occurs to us that we can just stop and look at it. And that looking at it is the best way of managing it. In fact, this stopping and looking is so unorthodox for you. It's going to be so unconventional that it's going to take you a lot of practice, years of practice to retrain your brain from just reaction to emotions and being able to just stop, look at it, feel it, notice what's going on in your mind and in your body, and don't try to control it. Because what your mind's going to be telling you is that, wait a minute, let me try to control this. If it's a bad emotion, I should control it and stop it, right? That's the right thing to do. Or I should guilt myself about it and tell myself that, oh, it's a bad emotion. Why am I having this bad emotion? I shouldn't be having a bad emotion right now. But see, what this does is this is just a reaction to the emotion, which just creates more emotions, and it just feeds into it and creates this cyclone of emotions. And so there's no consciousness there. No consciousness at all. Even though it might feel like you're trying to control stuff, you're really not. So in practice, what's going to happen is that you're going to forget. You're going to forget to practice mindfulness. You're going to forget to stop and experience the emotion without controlling it. And you're going to do this again and again and again and again and again and again for a long, long time before you finally learn that you actually need to stop. Don't label it good or bad and just feel it. But you know what? Go ahead and start practicing. Practice makes perfect. So I recommend you start practicing now because it'll take you a while to get the hang of it. And in fact, what I want to wrap up on here is I'm going to give you an exercise. I'm going to give you a really handy exercise for how to practice mindfulness. The biggest problem with mindfulness, the reason people don't develop it, is simply because they forget to practice it because it's so easy to forget. So here's the exercise for you. What I want you to do is I want you to get your smartphone. On the phone, I want you to create an alarm. This alarm, it'll be a whole series of alarms for an entire week. So what's going to happen here is that you're going to create an alarm that rings 3 hours after you normally wake up, and then 3 hours after that, and then 3 hours after that, and 3 hours after that, and 3 hours after that. So it's going to ring five, maybe six or seven times, depending how long you stay awake. It's going to ring, let's say, five times at least throughout your day. It's going to ring. When this alarm rings, what I want you to do is I want you to stop whatever you're doing. I want you to get a special journal. You're going to keep a little journal. just for this exercise, and you're going to write down exactly what your emotion is in the moment, whatever it is. If you're pissed off and it's a very strong emotion, good. Feel that. Notice what's going on in your body. Notice what's going on in your mind. First, just take 30 seconds to notice it. Then actually write down what you discovered. If you don't have a strong emotion, which will probably be the case most times, then write down whatever emotion you do have. You always have some sort of emotion coursing through your body, even if it's just a very, very subtle emotion. And maybe all you're feeling right now is just, you're feeling comfortable. Or maybe you're feeling a little uneasy. Or maybe you're feeling a little bit annoyed. Just, you know, a little bit. Whatever it is, feel it, notice it, and then write it down. And you're going to do this for a whole week. So it's going to be 7 straight days of this alarm going off. And that's it. At the end of this week, what you're going to notice if you do this exercise, as I told you, and you don't slack off on it, you'll notice that you've developed a lot of emotional awareness, which wasn't there before. And what I encourage you to do from that point on is just to continue with the process, even if you don't use an alarm anymore. I want you to continue with the process of feeling into the emotion, getting curious about what the emotion actually is, not trying to control anything, and ideally writing that stuff down in a journal or in a diary so that you're forcing yourself to use language to clarify, add precision to your awareness. What this does is this builds awareness. And when you develop more awareness, you develop higher EQ. And when you develop higher EQ, you start to master your emotions. And when you start to master your emotions, you start to master your whole life. How's that? How's that? Coming full circle. All right. So what are we doing here with actualize.org? We're helping you to master your life. How do we do that? By mastering your psychology. And how do we do that? Well, a big chunk of it is mastering your emotions. So go ahead and take this exercise very seriously, do it religiously, and you'll see some cool results. All right, this is Leo. I'm signing off. Post me your comments down below. Click the like button, please. Share this video with a friend. And finally, come sign up to the actualize.org newsletter right here. It's a free newsletter. When you sign up, you get weekly free videos that I'm releasing all the time. And my whole mission in life is to research and find the most powerful concepts and mindsets and principles that I can discover and that other people have discovered that are much more studied and smarter than I am. I want to bring those to you and show you how to apply them practically in your life. No nonsense, no bullshit, so that you can start creating all the things that you're struggling to create. And all that will then lead to creating that extraordinary life, which you know you want, but you also know that you struggle so hard to get. So if you're down with that, follow every single week. You don't want to just watch one video. You want to keep up with it. Turn it into a practice. Turn it into like a little mini hobby. I want to turn you like into a self-help junkie here. Because I know that if you develop a hobby out of this, just in a couple of years, your whole life is going to start to transform in unimaginable ways, which will be one of the most rewarding things that you've ever experienced in life. So I want to share that with you. I want to see you experience that for yourself. Sign up right now.